Chapter 26. Gareth. The hall was crowded for the last celebratory meal at Ebba Castle, with the bonus of yet another strange event to gossip over. The villagers from the surrounding area, even if they had slept at home the night before, had come to help with the cleanup of the fire and stayed to celebrate Kalan Gaev. King Owain had insisted that the festival be celebrated properly. Gareth was in wholehearted agreement, even if it felt like they were spitting into the wind. The guards had left the front door open, since people went in and out of it in a constant stream anyway, and the press and stench of people inside was already a little too much. They had spent all morning in prayer in the chapel, thankful to have survived Hallowmas with no more deaths. The manor house lay in ruins, and Bricken's body had been burned beyond recognition. With the crowds dispersing by the end of the day, or at the latest by tomorrow, Gareth felt his opportunity for finding the answers to the rest of his questions slipping away. He glanced up to the high table, where Howell and Godfred sat beside each other. As an honored guest, Godfred could remain as long as he liked, but he would be leaving soon too, on his quest to find Ottar's son, Thorvin, and the Book of Kells. Gareth's eyes narrowed as he registered Cadwallader's absence from the high table. The man always wanted to be at the center of attention, but he liked to mingle with the common folk at times because it made him look magnanimous. Gareth, and many others, knew that to be a pretense. But Cadwallader was the brother of the king, and because King Owain tolerated him, everyone else had to, too. Gareth cast his eyes around the hall, looking for the wayward prince. He was about to rise to his feet to better see over the top of others' heads, when Gwen put a hand on his arm. "Are you all right?"
"Of course. Why?"
he said. "You've been ripping at that meat with your teeth, as if it's someone's throat, and now you've forgotten about your meal altogether."
"I was looking for Prince Cadwallader."
Gareth gave a slight laugh.
"I'm sorry. I realize I'm not good company right now."
"How about we take a walk?" she said. "I need some air too, and it will give you a chance to look for him outside. Perhaps Dowie is now capable of speech."
"You know me so well."
Gareth got to his feet and helped Gwen to hers. Christina had kindly loaned Gwen one of her gowns, a deep burgundy which set off her dark hair and eyes.
"I wish one of the kitchen workers had noticed someone who didn't belong there last night."
"But they didn't," Gwen said. "They're run off their feet and have been for days. Besides, it seems more and more likely that the murderer is someone we know, someone who belongs at Eber and wouldn't be noticed."
"The murderer did return to the castle," Gareth agreed.
Gwen tipped her head so she could look into his face. "Is that why you're searching for Cadwallader?"
"Cadwallader is a slippery bastard," Gareth said. "Besides, I need something else to think about besides Bran and Tegwyn, and everything we still don't know about their deaths."
"This isn't a failure, Gareth," Gwen said. "Bran killed Tegwyn. We do know that."
"I'm trying to believe it was an accident," Gareth said.
"It doesn't matter now," Gwen said. "They're both dead." Gareth scowled.
He could have done 100 things with her body, instead of hiding it in Wenna's hut and putting out that he'd run off with a Dane. That is not the act of an innocent man.
"You need to let Tegwyn go," Gwen said. "That's what last night was for."
"If only the murderer had known we were hours from closing the investigation," Gareth said. "Instead, Dowie and Eric flee Eber. Someone shoots at Howell. Bricken is murdered. Dowie is poisoned. And the manor house set afire. All within the space of a single day. Now we have more questions than when I awoke yesterday morning. If we already know Bran killed Tegwyn, who is behind these other incidents?"
"We'll solve this case like we solve every other, by asking questions, like you and Howell have been doing." Gwen canted her head. "And hopefully, with a bit more luck than we've had so far."
"Bricken didn't have any luck," Gareth said.
"You are sour this morning," Gwen said.
Gareth grumbled under his breath. "A killer is walking free. I can't breathe easy."
They stood on the top step to the keep, and Gareth felt Gwen take a deep breath beside him. The air was moist and warm. More rain would come soon, but thankfully, it had held off during the worship service for All Saints' Day, since the chapel hadn't been large enough to hold everyone, and the residents of Eber had overflowed into the courtyard. Gareth and Gwen had found places inside, but looking at Gwen's pale face, Gareth wished he'd paid more attention to her and had found a better place to pray, or perhaps skipped the service entirely. He took her arm, and they headed away from the hall, looking for a quiet place to be together.
"I keep seeing that man with Bricken, watching him fall.
People are saying that Abba is haunted by all the deaths, but someone real started that fire, and someone real poisoned Dowie. She sighed. Gareth had already talked to Howell about taking Gwen home to Anglesey tomorrow. Howell had said that he would bring Mary and leave her there with Gwen before the two men set out to help Godfred with his quest. Howell, it seemed, intended to come along on that adventure, too. Evan appeared in the doorway to the stables.
Dowie's awake, my lord.
Sir Gareth.
Gareth turned at the shout. The drunken soldier from the previous night, Iago, stood underneath the gatehouse, waving his arms above his head urgently. Torn between two duties, Gareth gave Gwen a quizzical look. She released his arm.
Go, I'll talk to Dowie with Evan.
I'll find you after I see what Iago wants, Gareth said.
Gwen and Evan disappeared into the darkness of the stables, and Gareth loped towards the gatehouse, anxious to clear up whatever this was so he could get back to Gwen. Then Gareth saw who was beside Iago and pulled up 10 yards from the gatehouse, his mouth dropping open in surprise.
Hello, Sir Gareth.
The woman before him smiled.
I see you have been keeping well.
Prioress Nest.
Gareth caught the arms of his old mentor, who was standing with a young companion, also a nun. Both wore the heavy, undyed robes and head coverings of their vocation.
What are you doing here?
I fear the community you so lovingly protected is no longer, my friend, she said. We came to grief, finally, last year. Those of us who survived found refuge with a community of women at Conwy.
Gareth's stomach clenched with momentary guilt that he hadn't been there to protect them. Nest gave him a compassionate look.
Gareth.
He shook himself.
You've been so close all this time. Why haven't you contacted me before?
Nest narrowed her eyes at him.
We are pledged to a life of quiet contemplation. I would never have come to Abed at all if it wasn't so urgent.
Then she frowned.
Where are your manners, sir?
Of course, of course.
Gareth accepted his chastisement with bowed head, pleased that she was here at all. He gestured towards the great hall.
Come inside. There is plenty of food for everyone. King Owain has not scrimped on the feast, despite the difficulties of the last few days.
Nest indicated the girl next to her.
This is Bronwyn, a novice.
Bronwyn was carrying a large, heavy package in her arms. Gareth looked at it curiously, but didn't ask its purpose. Just held out his arms to take it from her. Nest shook her head as she grasped it instead.
Patience.
She seemed intent on having her own way, and strode up the steps to the keep in front of Gareth. Once inside, she went directly to the end of a nearby table, where there was enough space for them to sit. Iago had come with them, and Gareth held up a hand to indicate that he should wait by the door in case he was needed. Nest didn't take a trencher for herself, or for Bronwyn, but swept the remains of the previous diner's meals aside with one arm. Then she set the package on the table between them.
I heard you were looking for this.
Gareth stared at the wrapped package, and then up at Nest.
We learned of the arrival of Danish ships at Aber,
almost before they landed on your shore, Nest said. My contacts assured me the Danes had been welcomed into Aber Castle, so I knew it was time to find you.
I don't understand.
Gareth's head felt thick and slow, like it was stuffed with day-old porridge.
A man brought it to us.
Nest pinched her lips together, as if fighting back amusement.
Not that bringing it to us, or leaving it with us, came about of his own volition. A fisherman found him at the bottom of his longboat, the only survivor of a storm.
When was this? Gareth said.
The end of September, Nest said. The storm was a bad one.
I wouldn't know, Gareth said. I was in Ceredigion with Prince Howell.
I don't know what happened to the rest of the men who sailed with him, but the man was alone, with few possessions.
Nest put her hand gently on the package.
This was clutched to his chest, wrapped in many layers of oilskin and sealed tight. The fisherman brought it and him to us. Unfortunately, the man himself never woke.
You're telling me that this is the Book of Kells? Gareth said, still disbelieving. Why didn't you come to me sooner?
That's the second time you've asked me that, Nest said reprovingly. I was waiting for a sign that would direct me towards the proper course of action.
Gareth rubbed at his chin.
And you found that sign now?
The man who stole it was a Dane, and Danes have come to Aber looking for it. It is not mine to keep, and I cannot return it to Kells. but you can.
The Dane who came to Abad wants to return it too, Gareth said. He is a good man.
He is a Dane.
Nest's voice hardened.
Too many houses such as mine have been sacked by Danes for me to ever rejoice when I see their sails on the water. We learned to run and hide a long time ago.
Then she shot Gareth a thoughtful look.
Though there have been times when fighting seems to have been the proper course of action. I will introduce you to Godfrid, and perhaps you will feel differently.
Gareth smiled at Ness's icy and skeptical expression.
Allow me at the very least to introduce you to King Owain. This is news we can all celebrate.
He rose to his feet, his heart lighter than it had been in days. It was one mystery solved, and he hadn't even had to leave Aber to do it.
Wait, Nest caught Gareth's arm. There is one more thing I must speak to you about. I understand that you buried Tegwin Fuck Cadwashan yesterday.
Gareth sank slowly back down to his bench.
Yes, we did. Did you know her?
Not I, Nest said, but our order had dealings with her. Gareth's mind had been full of his good news and its consequences. The finding of the Book of Kells, coupled with Thorvin's death, was going to rock Dublin to its very foundation. But now he focused again on Nest.
How so?
A few days before she disappeared, she came to us. Our convent lies near Brynirin. She asked about joining our community.
Tegwin wanted to become a nun? Gareth said.
That seemed the least likely thing he'd heard about her.
Nest gave him a sad smile.
She said she did. I thought you ought to know.
Thank you for telling us, Gareth said. Though I suppose the investigation is over now. We have a witness who attests that her husband killed her.
She loved her husband.
Bronwyn spoke for the first time, and from her wide-eyed look, seemed shocked to have spoken at all.
But she was afraid of him too.
Do you know that for certain? Gareth said.
Bronwyn nodded.
She told me so when she visited. We were of an age, so I was allowed to show her around the convent. She claimed to know a great secret about him, but wouldn't speak of it to me.
Bronwyn glanced at Nest, who nodded reassuringly for her to continue.
The leader of our order would have taken her in right then and there, but she insisted she had to go back. We never saw her again.
I'm sure she was grateful to have had someone to talk to, Nest said soothingly.
Bronwyn nodded.
That's what I said to the other man who came around asking about her.
Gareth took in an audible breath of surprise.
What other man?
It was after she disappeared, Bronwyn said,
clearly surprised at his surprise.
Long after.
Who was this? Gareth said. Was it her husband, Bran?
No, not her husband. Someone else, the girl said. Older.
You didn't tell me about this?
Nest fixed her eyes on Bronwyn.
I just remembered, Bronwyn said,
showing a glimmer of spine by not wilting under her superior's glare.
When was this? Gareth said.
Bronwyn's chin wrinkled up as she thought.
Maybe 3 years ago?
Did the man give you his name? Gareth said.
Bronwyn shook her head, her expression uncertain.
I'm sure he did, but I don't remember it.
Then her face brightened.
But you can ask him yourself. He's right there.
She pointed towards the high table.
It's the man on the end.
Bronwyn was pointing to Griffith, Tegwin's grandfather. Griffith had been talking with Taryn. Bronwyn's gesture must have caught his eye, because he looked in their direction and saw Gareth staring back. Griffith put a hand on Taryn's shoulder, mouthing apologies, rose to his feet, and almost before Gareth could blink, had disappeared through the doorway to the kitchen at the back of the hall.
What's wrong, Gareth? Nest said.
Luck had reared its reluctant head at last.
We need to raise the alarm, Gareth said, though Nest would have no idea what he was talking about. It was Griffith all along.